Start your date, the 208, which will go big.
Good morning, all. So we're here again. Pesach has come around. We've given the shiur here a few times on Haggadah, so we'll see what we can find, perhaps something new, perhaps which you don't remember. First of all, I want to tell you an incident that happened with Rabbi Akiva Eiger. Now, everyone knows that Rabbi Akiva Eiger was a big gaon, and in learning, it was absolutely top of everyone. My Rosh Yeshiva, when everyone quoted Rabbi Akiva Eiger's question, and somebody wanted to give an answer, it was like talking to a brick wall. He would never accept the answers. Rabbi Akiva Eiger knew all that, he said. Anyway, what happened? But there's another side of Rabbi Akiva Eiger, which was that he was very concerned with people who were not well. He didn't just talk about it. He acted like that. He actually created a hospital, as far as I remember. He did lots of things for Chaylim. One day, he went to the hospital, which I think he had organized, and there was a patient there with Lo Aleinu, who was very ill, and the doctors weren't looking very promising to his recovery. So, Rabbi Akiva Eiger decided, okay, and he called the doctor. The doctor was actually not from our religion, he was a non-Jewish doctor, but he was a top doctor, and he called him to go and see the patient. The doctor came to see the patient, and he said, Rabbi Akiva, I don't understand what you've called me for. There's no hope for this person, there's no chance. So Rabbi Akiva Eiger said to him, just a minute, what would happen if this would be the king, the patient would be the king? At that time, they still held of kings. What would you have done then? So the doctor thought a minute. He said, yes, something like that did happen. So what did you do? The king had this similar illness to this patient. And I knew there was a bird which could be found in the world which was a solution to this person's problem. So what did we do? We told the king, and the king organized his people, all sorts of people, soldiers, etc., to go to this faraway place, absolutely miles away, to capture this bird and to bring it. And Kachava, the bird was brought, and they gave it to the king, and the king ate of the flesh of the bird, and he was cured. Nu, said Rabbi Akiva Eiger, what would you want? This bird is miles away, you can't do anything. And he left. Rabbi Akiva Eiger didn't give up. He went into a corner and he said a tefillah to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he said he wants to have this patient, he wants to cure him, and he wants to be able to do so. A few minutes later, at the window appeared a bird, true story, and the bird was that bird which had come from nowhere. And Akiva Eiger told the people to capture this bird and to give it to this patient. And Kach Hava, and the patient was cured. What was the significance of this? Why am I telling you this? Because Rabbi Akiva Eiger said to this doctor, Kol Yisrael b'nei melochim heim. All Yisrael are b'nei melochim. If you treat a king like that, then every Jew, every Yid, has got the same reason for helping him as if you would help a king. He took it absolutely literally. Kol Yisrael b'nei melochim heim. And the doctor was amazed. He came back to see what had happened. And he said, only the rabbiner could do such a thing. Okay, whatever it is. But that is what happened. We come to Pesach, and we are told we have to act like melochim. We have to act like kings. You have to feel like a king. The Sefer HaChinuch is famous when he tells us, why did the Torah in Mitzrayim, the Torah says in Parshas Bo, a few points in relation to how the Seder should be conducted in Mitzrayim. Moslechem chagurim, you should be all ready, okay. But then it says, you should not, if you have the Korban Pesach, you're not allowed to give a piece of it and take it over the road to somebody else. It can't be necho b'shnei mekomos in two places, it has to be eaten where you are. You can't give it to your friend. Why, says the Chinuch? What's the significance of that? He said, because you are like Ashirim. A rich person makes a party, a suda. What does he do? He has his big premises, and he invites all the people to those premises, to this house, to this banqueting suite. A poor man can't do that. So what does he do? But he's sympathetic with his friend over the road. So what does he do? He cuts a piece of what he's got and passes over and sends it over to the land over the road. Pesach time, we're Kol Yisrael B'nei Melachim. We're special. We're like kings. We're like wealthy people. And that's why we lean, as you know. These are all things which we do in order to show that we are different that night. Etzem le'sish b'rubay, you're not allowed to break a bone of the Korban Pesach when it has marrow in it. And it's the same reason. He says, because a person who is not so comfortable, what does he do? He scrapes every little bit out of what he can get. Because it's a rarity even. And that's what he scrapes. But a rich man doesn't do that. He can throw it away. Etzem le'sish b'rubay. Many things in to do with Korban Pesach are all to the same point. The same idea that we are melachim. We are special. But in the story that I told you, it comes out that we're not just saying melachim, but we are melachim. But you are melachim. In other words, my friend is also a melech. I'm not the only melech. Everyone is a b'nei melachim. Now, in the Geula, there were various circumstances of different people. What were they? So, first of all, we know that in Mitzrayim, in the Choshech, lots of people, lots of Yidden died. Why did they die? Rashi says, Oysom Shaloi Rotsu Lotzis. They, for one reason or other, they were comfortable in Mitzrayim, and they felt they could stay in Mitzrayim, and they're not interested in coming out. So Hashem says, if you're not interested in coming out, stay here. So a lot of them, four-fifths, the Chazal say, were killed in the Choshech to conceal it from the Mitzrayim. The Mitzrayim shouldn't find out. I don't know how they didn't find out. There's a lot of people. But still, that was one group. There was a second group who weren't of that ilk. They I suppose, wanted to go out of Mitzrayim, but they didn't want to do Bris Milah. They were quite happy to be comfortable and not do Bris Milah. Bris Milah, after all, it injures the person, hurts the person in some way or other, especially adults, and they didn't want to do Bris Milah. What did HaKadosh Baruch Hu do with them? So HaKadosh Baruch Hu made the Reach Gan Eden, that's Chazal, Reach Gan Eden, to appear to in the time of the Korban Pesach, because a roast, you know, is very, very potent. It gives a taste, it gives us an odor, which is terrific. And they said, oh, we would like that. You'd like that? That's a condition. You have to have Bris Milah. So they had to do Bris Milah. They did Bris Milah, and they were out with everybody else. That's group number two. What about group number three? Group number three were the infamous people named Dothan and Aviram. Dothan and Aviram had a different thing altogether. They wanted to stay in Mitzrayim, and they wanted to join the other side. They were quite happy to be friends and connections to the Mitzrayim. So, a strange thing. And to such an extent, the Targum Yonason is famous. It says, the plans were that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made Klal Yisrael go back to Baal Tzephon in order to confuse the Mitzrayim, to think that the Yidden are confused and they don't know where they're going. And that will be, they will be vulnerable. And that's how the Paro would be able to deal with them. Who told them this? Now, we normally translate Livnei Yisrael about the B'nai Yisrael. But the Targum Yonason says Livnei Yisrael to the B'nai Yisrael. What do you mean the B'nai Yisrael? They're not there. The B'nai Yisrael are on the way to the Yam Suf. Dothan and Aviram. Dothan and Aviram were there. And they're giving him advice. Oh, Nevuchim ein Ba'aretz ki sogar aleim amibbo. What happened to them? Hey, but you've heard of them later in the Torah. They didn't disappear. Well, it's all Midrashim. So they start running after the Yidden, and they realized that they've made a tremendous, a wrong choice, because they can see what's happening. The Mitzrayim are drowning, and the Mitzrayim have lost the battle. They've lost everything. What are we going to do? Oh, we've changed our mind now. Now we're coming back. We want to go join the Israel. But the waters have all gone back. Hashem made a special path for them to be able to join their friends. What's going on here? You've got three situations, which we mentioned. And in the third situation, you and I would say, what do you mean? Such people? And especially HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows the future. Those people should be saved? Said Rabbi Yaakov Galinsky to a person, it was a bocher or somebody, who was very upset, and he said his situation was such that he's given up everything in learning in the yeshiva. He hasn't got the excitement that he had when he started. So he said to him, you're a Yid. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't give up on a person. Do you know Dos and Aviram? They were Jewish. They were Yidden. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to give them a chance. So although they weren't behaving in the way that they should, but he gave them a chance. Actually, they say another pshat, why Dos and Aviram had a special privilege here, because they were Shoytrim in Mitzrayim. They were Shoytrim in Mitzrayim, and it says, Vayuku, Shoytrim in Yisrael. They were hit because they didn't want to hurt the Jewish people who were asked to do the impossible, to bring bricks, which were beyond their ability. So they were hit instead of the Yidden. So they had some sort of feeling for the Yidden. So those Shoytrim in Yisrael deserved some sort of reward. And this was their reward. All right, they didn't turn out good in the end because of Korach. But still, they were given a chance. Everyone is given a chance. Hashem doesn't give up on a person. That was the message which Rabbi Yaakov Galinsky conveyed to this person. Then we have like this. Zocheres Yom HaZeh Asher Yetzotzem Mimitzrayim. Remember this day. How should you remember this day? The Torah says in Parshas Bo, after Shvi'i there, V'loy Ye'ochel Chometz. That's what it says. Remember this day, Hayom HaEya, Lo Ye'ochel Chometz. That's the remembrance. So the question is, why is that significant to be the method which HaKadosh Baruch Hu used that they should remember this day? Says Reb Zalman Sarotskin as follows. We found in our history, and even in later times, those who remember, when people want to make a record, an event, all right, they didn't have photography, but they had all sorts of methods. One was to make a monument, monument in a prominent place, and there they would write about this person in brief. That's one method. Earlier times, they had a tapestry in which they recorded the whole thing, and it was mamish, it was a very, very significant tapestry. And that was was on the wall, wherever it was, in the museum eventually. Those are not such good methods of remembrance. Why not? I'll tell you why. A new generation comes, like it happened, and they say, we don't agree with them. And they smash down the masonry, the monument, and it's all gone. It's not bourgeoisie. They were all gone. Nothing. A tapestry? A tapestry doesn't last, actually. No, they keep it in special conditions, sometimes with the heat and with the water, whatever it is. But the mice, it doesn't last. And second of all, it's also very vulnerable. If the next generation decide they don't like this thing, they just throw it out. What did HaKadosh Baruch Hu do? HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, look, what does a person have? A Jew travels from pillar to post. He doesn't know where he's going to have next year. He doesn't know what's going to happen. But one thing a person's got with him, bare minimum. What's clay goyla minimum? A little bit of flour and a little bit of water. Now that, wherever you are in the world, whatever the circumstances are, but that is a very basic thing. Flour and water. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, look, even if you're going to Golos, and even if you'll be in dark times and there'll be difficult times, but flour and water you will have. You know, very well in the camps that they try to make matzahs, as you know. And that will remind you of the fact that you were in Mitzrayim and that you came out of Mitzrayim. Now, that cannot be taken away from you in normal circumstances. I know there are abnormal circumstances that didn't have that either. But generally speaking, that's a far better bet than a stone masonry, than a monument, or anything of that nature. I remember in Leeds, I knew a doctor in Leeds, a Jewish doctor. And in those times, the doctors used to go and visit patients. And he told me that on Chol HaMoed, he went to a house in the middle of nowhere in Yorkshire there. And on the table was a box of matzah. Now, today, if you'd have seen a box of matzah somewhere, you would say, well, it's health, etc. But in those times, it wasn't common for people just to have matzah. So he was intrigued. So after he finished doing whatever he had to do, he was courageous enough to ask them, well, what's this? What do you mean? It turned out the grandmother, the daughter, and the granddaughter were all Jewish. The others were not, but they were Jewish. They had this still remembrance. Maybe they didn't even know what it was for, but they remembered. They kept it. That's what he told me. He said it was quite amazed. We're not amazed. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has his methods of being able to remind people who are not so easily to remind. Hayoyim atem yotzim b'chodesh aviv, we said, is because of the matzah and this flour and water. The Netziv says a bit of another pshat. He says as follows. Flour and water, the activity is not so great as far as a human being is concerned. The moshel bread, you have to put yeast in, you have to do all sorts of other things to make it into a loaf of bread or into a challah. Matzah, you don't have to do that. Oh, you have to watch it carefully, but in fact, there's not much activity, much input of a person, human being. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to show them that you remember this day of Yetzias Mitzrayim, it was nothing to do with you. It was nothing to do with your efforts. It had nothing to do with your input. What happened? The gates were opened, and a paro said, get out! That's all that happened. In fact, you did nothing. And that's to show you how HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Hashgacha. And he says, that's why the Rishonim say, Pesach Mitzrayim was only one day. Which means to say, there was only one day when they were not allowed to eat chometz. The other days of Pesach, they were allowed to eat chometz in Mitzrayim. That's why the pshat in the psukim. Because you'll have a question. The posuk says, why do we eat matzah? Because we didn't have time to make it into chometz when we went out. What do you mean? You can't eat chometz, you told me? No. What would they have done? They would have baked it. And there's no dinner bal yoroi bal yomotzeh in those days. And then they would eat it in the night, the following night. So therefore they would prepare it for the following night. That's what would have normally happened. And it didn't happen like that. So that was the reminder of Mitzrayim. But the other years, when we are not so close to the scene, because we didn't see Yetzias Mitzrayim, we know about it, but we weren't actually present, then you need an extra reminder. So you needed 7 days, not one day. The Tziv says that. So that's the pshat in that apostle. We always said the vort of Reb Zalman Sarotskin, you know, all of us have got a minig of some sort, that when it comes to the Eser Makos, we take our finger or a spoon or tipping it, and we tip the wine into the saucer. Why do we do that? Why? Why do we do that? Well, to remind us, is that the only thing? So here, Reb Zalman Sarotskin says as follows. Is there. When a person benches, Lamashal Techasana, not Dafka Techasana, but Techasana. So the person benches, and he's called the Kosher Brocha. He drinks a bit of it, and he passes it along to others. In that case, to the Chosan and Kala, to in his house, Neshagra Libnei Beisai, to his family. Why? Why does he pass it along? It's because it's a kosher brocha. What do you mean it's a kosher brocha? It's a case where brochas were said on that case, and those brochas have an effect that other people should benefit from that case. And that's why we pass it along. Conversely, what happens if you've got a case which is not a kosher brocha? It's a kosher klola. In other words, it's a case where bad things have said, been said about. That you don't want to drink. So symbolically what you do, but it comes to the Esamakas, after all, there are bad things happening. Didn't happen to us, they happened to the Mitzrayim. But still, we are mentioning Dam Tzvadeh, etc. So, we pour a bit off to show we don't want to drink that. That's how he explains the reason for doing so. But there's a kasha. If you know the Haggadah tells us the following. It brings psukim, and then it explains what the psukim mean. And then when it comes to dam, not the dam where we in the order of the makas, it explains ubaisa ze'amate, ubamoifsim ze'adam. It brings a pasuk which mentions moifsim, wonders, and what's moifsim? It's dam. Kama shenema, v'nosati moifsim b'shomayim uva'aretz, nu, dam v'eish v'simras osha. Everyone knows that. What do? We all do it. We pour a bit of wine from dam, and eish, and simras osha. Excuse me. You told me just now it's for the makas. Adam, I understand. Why do we pour out for the Eish and the Simras Osham? That's nothing to do with Mitzrayim. Why do you do that? Good kasha. Ask many people this kasha, they don't know the answer. Says the Zalman Saroskin, I'll tell you. In Mitzrayim, there was a makkah against the Mitzrayim. We know all the details I've mentioned in the Chumash, and we elaborate on them on Pesach. But there was another type of makkah. What do you mean, another type of makkah? So we know the history was that when they took the lamb on the 10th of Nisan and they tied it to the Kariyah Mitah for 4 days, I don't know how they managed to sleep then, but that's a separate issue. The lamb was bleating away there. The Mitzrayim were saying, hey, what are you doing? They saw, oh, we're going to shech this. You're going to what? It was our God, you can't shech that. And they were very agitated, but they could do nothing about it. That's one of the Nisim of Shabbos HaGadol. Shabbos HaGadol was on the 10th of Nisan that year. Okay. Came Erev Pesach, and then what do they see? They're watching, and they see the Yidden taking the lamb after Chatzos and shechting it. And the blood is coming out, and where did they put the blood, according to Machlokes Midrashim? On the doorpost and the shleim, so outside, Rashi in Chumash says on the inside, so machlekes, on the outside. So the Mitzrayim are looking, and they're seeing the blood of their God on the mashkef and the shleim zuzas. They were furious, but they could do nothing about it. And then, to add insult to injury, as you would say, what happened next? They roasted the gombes, and we mentioned before, roasted's got a very strong, potent odor, and they saw it, and they saw this column of smoke coming up from the roast. They were furious. There's a physical makkah and there's a mental makkah. A physical makkah we understand, but there's a mental makkah. This was mamish, a mentally wet right to the core. Now, look in the posuk. V'nosati mofsim b'shamayim v'aretz. What are they? Dom. What do you think? You think dam is dam of the makkas, the first makkah? No! This dam is of the Korban Pesach. The eish, and the fire, and the simras oshan, the column of smoke that came out. All that was a makkah. And that's why we also pour the wine out at those three stages as well. Interesting thing. That's the Zalman Saroskin's vault. Alright, now. It's a, is that sorry? in the Hallel of Pesach, Hallel of every Yom Tov, we say the following: Mekimi me offer dol me ashpes yorim evyon. HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes out, raises from the dust a dol, a poor person, me ashpes from the dust heap yorim evyon. He lifts up an evyon. Shivim nedivim divi amay. What's the significance of this? The Malbim says the following. The moshul is very easy to understand. You've got a person who's known. The person is a pauper. He's got nothing. He always sits at the back. He's got nothing. He's got nothing to show for himself. He has got nothing at all. And one day, he wins the lottery. And he wins the lottery with millions of pounds. So the next day he comes, and he's in a smart suit with a smart Mercedes or a Rolls Royce or whatever your car is, the feature at the time. And he said, wow, what's the reaction of people? We know the young killer, we've known him all the years, come on. Take no notice of him. And he doesn't get the comfort that he would have expected. What does he have to do in order to get comfort? Goes to America, and there nobody knows him. And he comes out there with first class, and he's like, oh, this is Rabbi Yankel. So in order to be discovered, he has to be somewhere else. He can't be in the same place. What happened in Mitzrayim? It's one of the greatest nissim. It says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made the chain of Klal Yisrael, who 5 minutes ago were there avodim. They looked at them with disdain. And then suddenly, they became hush of a people. In the eyes of the Mitzrayim appreciated they were Choshiva people. The Ramban, the Furish in the Torah, like that. Pshat in the Pasuk. Mekimi may offer dol. HaKadosh Baruch Hu raises a dol, a poor person, from the dust. May ashbais from the dust heap, yorim evyai. So what happens? Lahayshivi, he places him Im Nedivim, with other Choshiva people. Im Nedive Amai, with the people whom he knew just before. Nedima, his people, the people who knew him all the time. And they were Machshiv him. That's what happened in Mitzrayim. That's the speciality of this transformation in the fortunes of Klal Yisrael, how it changed. That's how the Malbim explains this idea of Mekimi. One last point on the Agoda. There's a bit of a question. Pesach, Matzah, and Morah. Pesach symbolizes, okay, we know the common Pesach. Matzah symbolizes the Geula, and Morah is the bitterness. It's the wrong way round. Didn't they experience the bitterness first? First was the Morah, and all the 210 years there they were in Mitzrayim. And then came the matzah, which was the geula. But why is it the wrong way round? So the Mefarshim say pshat. Sometimes, if you're born into a situation when you never knew better, 210 years is a long time. So there were people who were born in slavery. So they thought it's normal. They weren't happy about it, of course not. But they weren't. But that's how it has to be. That's our situation. When did they appreciate that was a very bitter time when they got their freedom? That's what freedom is like. That's what chayrus is like. Oh dear, look at the morrow that we experienced. So therefore, first of all is matzah. Once you get your freedom, then you appreciate what situation you were in earlier on. And that's where the morrow comes after the matzah. That's what the Mefarshim say. Well, we've got only a snippet of what the Haggadah is, and that's what we have to learn, and we have to be B'nai Chayrin, we have to be Melochim, we have to treat each other as Melochim, we treat the family as Melochim, the wife as Melochim, and then HaKadosh Baruch will bring the Geula Shleima B'meira B'yameinu. Amen.